of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today is the Feast of All Saints. Only once every 7 years or so does it actually land on a Sunday. So this is the day when we come to celebrate. You should have been here at 9 o'clock, actually, because we baptized maybe the cutest baby on earth this morning. It was beautiful and lovely. That's what you do on All Saints. You come for the big celebration, the big, beautiful Gloria that we just heard, baptisms. We're going to bless some icons that were written by some of our children last spring. We think today about all the saints, about all those people who have lived their lives faithfully, who have trusted in the Lord, who have somehow through their lives given some witness to the faithfulness of God and the love of Christ. And that works perfectly until we listen to the gospel lesson assigned for today. Somebody must not have sent the compilers of the lectionary a memo to let them know that today is the Feast of All Saints. This is a big celebration because they assigned for us a funeral reading. And that's a bit of a struggle. This passage and the 6 or 7 verses before it are read quite regularly in funerals. So how do we do this? How do we combine or how do we intersect the beautiful celebration of All Saints, the water of the font, and a gospel story about a tomb? Let's explore it and see if we can figure it out together. So first we have to remember that we've jumped. We've jumped out of the gospel lesson that we've been, the gospels that we've been reading now for weeks and weeks, and we're into the gospel according to John. So you got to remember that John had a very different agenda than the rest of the gospel writers, and so we have to get our minds into the way John thinks. So for the first 10 chapters of the gospel according to John, we have seen Jesus gather his disciples. We've seen him heal. We've seen that the lame can walk, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the mute can speak. We have seen that everywhere Jesus goes, life breaks out. Life and healing and wholeness. Except with the religious authorities. Because also, along the way, he has been in an argument with the Pharisees and with those who are in power. Every single time. And just before this gospel lesson assigned for today, Jesus was in Jerusalem and he got so crosswise with the Pharisees that they circled around him and picked up stones to stone him to death. He pleads for his life. He says, "You will stone me to death for doing good deeds?" And they said, "No, we're going to stone you to death because you're a blasphemer. You have said that you are the Son of God." And it says that Jesus escaped them. We get this picture of Jesus literally running for his life. Jesus and his friends, they run for their life, they get across the lake, and they can collapse there safely and catch their breath. And no sooner are they sort of getting themselves back to normal than word comes to Jesus that his old friend Lazarus is dying. It says that he loved Lazarus. This passage that we heard this morning says 3 different times that Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved his sisters Martha and Mary. And his death was a grief to Jesus. So we know they were friends, and I'm making this up entirely. But I have this image in my head of Jesus and Lazarus and those girls growing up together. And maybe they were childhood friends. Maybe Jesus and Lazarus were in the same 3rd grade class. And they got in trouble with their teacher every other day and in trouble with their mamas every afternoon. I just picture that. This was his old friend. So Jesus is grieving. He's sick. About 2 days later, he finally says, "We've got to go back." His disciples and friends say, "Wait, that's really not such a great plan. Last time we were in Jerusalem, they tried to stone you to death. I think we should stay here, maybe write a note of condolence, and just tell them it's not safe to travel." Jesus says, "No, we have to go." His disciples lift their hands in despair and say, "Okay, we'll go with you and we'll all die together." So they go back into very dangerous territory, and Jesus sees Martha. And Martha comes up to Jesus and says, the way it's read at a funeral service says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." But that could not be the way it sounded. This is an angry confrontation. Martha comes to Jesus and said, if you had been here, if you hadn't run off, my brother would not have died. She clearly believes that proximity to Jesus was about life. That's what she had seen all this time. And now Jesus leaves, Lazarus dies. It's your fault. What's remarkable is what Jesus does not say. Jesus does not say to her, I am the Son of God. Where do you get off talking to me like that? Jesus does not even correct her. He doesn't say that God is immutable, therefore you are not entitled to be angry with the Lord. He doesn't say it's all part of some big plan. So relax. He just says this. He asks her a question. He says, do you believe in the resurrection? And the way she responds, I think, is sort of like the way about half of you recite the Nicene Creed. You know, I believe in the resurrection on the last day. She just says it, but maybe, yes, I believe. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Your brother will live again. Do you believe this? And even in her anger, and even in her grief, she knows that proximity to Jesus is about life. And she says, I believe that you are the one coming into the world. That conversation ends, and Jesus turns, and then we hit our gospel lesson for this morning. Jesus turns, and there is Mary. And Mary's response is not angry. She collapses at Jesus' feet. She is filled with grief. And she says exactly the same sentence. If you had been here, you wouldn't have died. Can you feel the pathos of this? Can you feel the pain and the despair and the fear and the confusion and the anger? If you had just been here. And Jesus breaks down into tears. He begins to weep with them. Jesus, caught up in the fear and the anger, perhaps, and the uncertainty himself, as he confronts the death of one of his oldest friends. But he gathers himself. We can almost see him stand up, shaking. It says his body was responding, so he's shaking. And he says, roll away the tomb. And Martha says, no. Are you going to add this to our grief? Now we're going to have to deal with stench. Jesus says a heartfelt prayer to the Lord and says, roll away the tomb. And they do. And he shouts, Lazarus, come out. And the text says that Lazarus got up, bound in burial cloths, and walks out of the tomb. Kind of a funny image of the day after Halloween. He walks out of the tomb, bound. He can't move. He's wrapped up in the tools of the tomb, the tools of death and burial. Jesus says, unbind him, set him free. And somehow, that's connected to this, to the baptismal font. Right in the midst of all of that pain and all of that anguish, life walks in. So maybe actually the compilers of the lectionary are actually Christians. Maybe they actually believe that the tomb and the font are connected. And if the font doesn't speak to the tomb, it's of no use whatsoever. Maybe the compilers of the lectionary know how much time you and I spend wallowing around in our fear and our anxiety, bound in the tools of the tomb, separating ourselves from the love of life, which is Jesus himself. Maybe they know how afraid we are. So on All Saints, while we celebrate the resurrection, we also must confront the tomb, because that's the thing that separates us, isn't it, from resurrection. And so we can't skip it. We can't, in the words of our friend Aaron Zimmerman over at St. Albans Church, we can't pole vault over the grave. That's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to go from being with the living Jesus to eternal life. And we don't want to deal with the death and the deterioration and the destruction of the actual world that we live in, or the real pain and the fear that we have of the grave. This image of being bound in burial cloths, the tools of the tomb, very powerful to me today. How often do we bind ourselves in the tools of the tomb in this world? How much time do you and I spend nursing our fear and our anxiety about death? How much time do you and I spend worrying that we're going to get the flu this winter? We're going to get some sort of virus. We might get sick and we might die. How much time do we spend worrying about that next doctor's visit and the diagnosis we might get? How much time do we cruise the perimeters of our properties and make sure that everything's locked and all the security lights are on and all the security systems are on? Oh, glory, in January, you will get to put on a garment of death on your body and walk around in public with it. You will be able to arm yourself, and everyone will be able to see how utterly terrified you are of death. And the thing is, fear is contagious. And it will grow, and it will grow, and we will all become more and more afraid of the tomb. And this morning, on the Feast of All Saints, Jesus says, no, roll away the stone. Lazarus, come out. Unbind him and set him free. Jesus is about life. When we are baptized, we say that we are buried with Christ. So this font is not just a place where sin is washed, it is a tomb. We say we are buried with Christ and then we are raised with him. And so, therefore, in this life, when we are good and strong and healthy, and we are in a relationship with Jesus, life. But when we come to the tomb, when we roll your body down this center aisle someday in a casket, which we will, and you will roll mine, there is life. Because we are close to Jesus. And then on the resurrection of the last day, when we stand with all the saints and with all our friends, there is life. Apparently, proximity to Jesus means life, period. So we are called not to live in fear. Stand up straight and listen to the resurrection words of Jesus as he calls and whispers in your ear and mine, come out. Unbind her. Unbind him. Set him free. You know that nearly the last words in the burial rite say an amazing thing. It says, all we go down to the grave. And yet, even in the grave, we make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.